This is White Mountain Rescue Without a Trace, Part 9. Let's recap our first responder's current state. Roddy Lops is maxed out on conditions with Marked by the Chicken, Lost, and The Hum. Mike is clear, but he's got other problems going on right now. The veteran, Hank, has I Will Die on This Mountain Forever, Impatient, Chilled to the Bone. And Dallas Barton Moss has Heavy Limp and Marked by the Mists. Fun. Daniel had to step out during the latter part of our session, so recapping kind of like where we left off as a group, the first responders are currently at Fort Kickass. We had established that Hank was mostly conferring with some of the other extreme geocachers who had showed up, including Jen Stanhope and some of her friends. Dallas had set up a base camp here at Fort Kickass to have the operation go well into the night. So as the snows get heavier, you've established there are tents, and I'll have Wes read off the move again here in a moment. We got some scene between Dallas and Roderick, and Mike was investigating the perimeter of Fort Kickass when he started walking upstairs to the second level, and oh no, there aren't stairs on the outside to the second level. And on top, he saw an antlered figure who pointed at him and just said the name Whately. And that is where we did a hard cut to black last time, and a stinger scene. So I think we need to pick up with that moment, that exact moment of the snow heavy falling down on these steps. And around Mike, just cold mist breathing out of your mouth. You can see your breath in front of you, and the dense snowfall around you with this figure pointing at you. It's going to be the dangerous move in this exact moment for multiple reasons. I mean, imagine the stairs for one, but also just the fact that you're staring down this otherworldly entity. What are you afraid of happening here, Mike?
I'm afraid that this being is going to just take me away and I won't be seen again.
Worse than that, it's going to take your skin away, but leave the rest of you here on the stairs.
Oh no.
So I think we're going to roll plus sensitivity. You have zero conditions. You lucky son of a bitch. So why don't you go ahead and roll? You have any items you want to use for this or no?
No, because all of them are a bit too loud.
Not gonna open fire.
No, I'm not gonna open fire.
Got you.
And also, it's too close to me.
Fair enough. All right, let's see what we get.
Goodbye, skin. That is a 5.
Staring at this figure, it just points at you. It doesn't move, but the stairs collapse underfoot, or at least they appear to, because you don't go tumbling down to the ground, you go tumbling through somewhere else, a place between places, a place that reeks of blood and darkness. And the splinterings of those steps beneath your feet shred at your skin, ripping free every bit of flesh and bone beneath the facade of Mike Whately, otherwise known as Mike Hesters. We also lost B-Nar at that exact moment because B is frozen. Tragic.
Wait, B is not frozen?
Oh, B's frozen on my end. That's weird. Hold on.
Oh.
Very strange. Oh, damn. Yeah, B is like, I straight up am just not seeing B anymore. Mm. It's the void. Either way, there we go. We're fixed. All right, good. Mm-hmm. Very weird. Very weird. But as I was saying, and indeed, you meet an excruciating, long, drawn-out demise. As in this space between spaces, your skin is meticulously peeled from your body and stored for later usages, while the rest of you, the blood, the mucus, the bones, tumbles into this other place, experiencing an endless agony for all time.
Terrible.
You ever seen a Hellraiser?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to put on a crown of the forest to
Yeah.
not deal with this.
Makes sense. In that case, we'll come back to you. Hank, you've been inside Fort Kickass with some of these geocachers, kind of speaking with them during as the storm intensifies outside. What are you doing? Like, what's the conversation mostly been directed towards?
I think Hank's trying to figure out what these how old are they?
They're like early 20s.
He's trying to figure out what these how much they know and if they know some locations where Frankie could be and things like that. He's just trying to like get their story straight.
Yeah, you can give me the search move plus your presence with disadvantage from impatient talking to these they're trespassers basically. I mean, like these geocachers, whatever they're doing out here is it's not sanctioned. You don't got time for this. Think of the paperwork David Embargo is going to make you fill out later. So you can roll with disadvantage unless you have an item or move that would manipulate that.
No, it's a good roll though. 6, 5, 4.
Oh, nice.
So that's 9. Yep, 9 plus presence puts
So
me
just flat
a
nine.
safe zone.
Hell yeah.
Is my presence 1? I think it
Yeah,
is.
no, his presence is zero, I believe.
Oh, then I'm still a 9.
All right, let's see here. You got a clue though, that's not too bad. Let's see. Oh, let's take a look at the clues we already got so far. As a reminder, the questions for the Snowbound Geocacher, the threshold question is simply to figure out if Frankie is orchestrating a hoax or if they have inadvertently attracted fatal attention from an otherworldly entity. We have six clues so far. It is a complexity six question. We have strange howls from the forest, perhaps a coyote, unrecognizable tracks in the snow, a forest path carved through by something large. A Yeti animatronic that you found, kind of like from Spirit Halloween. Boxes of recording equipment under a canvas tarp that were left out in the woods, and the mangled corpse of Steve Mackey, the audio guy, which was called in. This clue, as you're speaking with them, let's see. Yeah, they're saying a lot of words to you, Hank. A lot of words that men of your age just have a fight or flight response to words such as Instagram and TikTok and influencer and social media
Feelings.
and they're talking a lot about but at the core of it they're talking about Frankie's various social media posts lately. It seemed to infer that he's been planning to actually stay through the entire like the winter is a few months away. Like we're in September now. It's like early fall. So it's like once winter comes, it's like he planned to stay here for like the entire duration of winter. And was coming up here for some like early prep and surveying of the area to get accustomed to it. But like they've been saying that he's been angling to do that for like a while now. He was gonna stay in the park illegally. For several months through the winter. So that's your clue. For your complication, we'll get back to that. I want to check in with Dallas and Roderick because you guys were having a fireside conversation last session, and I kind of want to pick up with whatever you two are doing. Once more, Dallas, could you describe your base camp that you've set up here around Fort Kickass?
Yeah, it's there's a system of canvas like quick canvas is what Bart Moss is calling it. It's got like the same kind of density and like insulation of canvas, but it's a lot more easier to fold and manage, kind of like emergency ponchos. That kind of like quick, I can fold it really tight, so it makes it very very easily carried around the
Does it you
area.
did it utilize those like electric like stiffening like technology where it's like when you
Yeah,
activate a circuit it like stiffens and like
stiffens it. Yeah,
it forms like the ten you know oh cool yeah sick.
yeah, and so it's got that tungsten fiber like that we've been showing off. That's like throughout the whole last like we're kind of really hedging our bets with this tungsten fiber and everything like that. Tungsten is just in my brain because I've been rereading The Expanse. And that is the material that they use for their ammunition. The main it's just the main like fire is in the central, but then there's also quick portable lamps set up like on different sides around the area. There's also just like a lot of like of that same kind of material, but made more so for like blanket style. So there's a little bit more insulation and padding in those, and they're not as foldable as the tent material, but they are still pretty useful. And Dallas has made coffee and everything. Imagine it's Twin Peaks. There's coffee. There's a nice little, there's a couple portable French presses because Dallas prefers their coffee made God's chosen way, which is French press. So there we
Incredible.
go.
So yeah, tell me a little bit about what's going on with Dallas and Roderick.
Well, I still have Hank Jr. So he didn't distract from Hank Sr.'s various investigations. And I gladly take some French press coffee, even if I think it's a little unnecessary to have such a complicated contraption. I will say nothing because it is coffee, and there is no need to look that gift horse in the mouth.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Did you clear a condition because we had a vulnerable move
No,
together
true, we
last
did.
time? Yeah.
Do I get to if I wasn't doing my stress reliever?
Yeah, we both
Yeah,
got
you
to.
both get to. You both get
Oh,
to clear a relevant
sick.
condition,
Then I didn't clear one.
and I believe one of you gets to find a clue or ask a question.
I think I
You
did
had
ask
to,
a question.
you
Yeah,
asked
we
a
did. Okay,
question last
good.
time.
Yeah.
You gave a very fun answer.
Yes, we did.
Yes.
That's right. That is right. Yeah.
Yes,
Very
let me
cool. So you
clear
get to
that.
clear.
Let me
What
clear.
conditions are we clearing?
Heavy limp, I think. I
Makes
think,
sense.
yeah, it's been some time. Got some coffee and yeah, warmed up a little bit. I think
Makes
also
sense.
all the excitement has got Dallas like on edge and everything, ready to roll.
Now, who has active crowns they need to narrate aside from Mike for just marking one? If no one else does, okay, cool. Then I'm just double checking on that. All right, cool.
No.
We'll get that in a moment. Okay,
Because yeah,
continue.
because I narrated one through that flashback.
Yeah,
Roderick.
I'll probably clear lost. That makes more sense
That
because
makes
I'm not.
sense.
I am here now. Yeah, what's
Roderick
up, bud? Yeah,
is the
bud.
two youngest members of the team, the more fit and svelte members as well. You think that we should get out there and see if we can find this guy? I don't see. Well, I don't see Mike anywhere. I don't
No, I
think I
don't.
see the charge anywhere either.
I mean, I think Sarge is talking to some folks, but
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, which is good. We need to know what's going on with these people, but if they've seen him, because it's getting dark and that's getting dangerous. But we should probably at least see if Mike's seen anything, heard anything. He might be out. He's probably outside. That's what Mike does.
Speaking of
You
that exact
wanna?
moment, that's a good transitional,
Yeah.
real quick, to cut over to Mike. Here's the outcome of your situation. Staring down this figure, you turn and run back down the stairs. And it's only once you're off the stairs that you realize you're somewhere else. You are still in the forest, but you're not at Fort Kick-Ass. You're in somewhere else on this godforsaken mountain in the middle of a growing blizzard, alone in the absolute dark. Slowly freezing to death.
Oh my God, is that better?
You're not dead.
Oh, I guess. Okay.
You
Have skin.
Yeah, I have
Yeah,
skin.
I'd consider this a big win for Mike.
Okay, I guess. Besides being in the snow, what else is around me?
Trees, lots of trees.
Okay, so I'm just goddamn lost, aren't
Yeah,
I?
you. This is the Funkeeper reaction of separate the first responders, and I just really separated you. You're somewhere. Yeah, if you want to begin trying to navigate your way, this we will. This will be the risky move of moving through a dark, snow heavy forest. Actually, no, I'm going to say that this is the dangerous move because it's the dark middle of the night in a blizzard in a forest and there's things out here. What are you afraid of happening?
I'm afraid of that creature from before just teleporting me here so it can hunt me for sport.
Ooh, very good. It is worse than that. It's worse than that because it's going to hunt your other's friends for sport while you can't do anything about it.
Oh, no.
So we're going to roll. Well, tell me what your approach is here, like how you're handling the situation of trying to navigate and find your way.
Yeah, I am more or less like I'm assuming that I cannot find my group back at Fort Kickass. So I'm just looking for like any form of like sort of walls to like get out of the wind to like hunker down and stay warm as best as possible, because like when you get lost in the woods, the best thing to do is to stay put, but like staying put would just cause me to freeze to death, so that's not smart either.
It sounds like you're trying to do this plus composure to keep yourself so you can roll plus composure.
Okay. In regards to the woods, I'm great. That's a 12.
Hey, fantastic. Yeah, you'll get an extra benefit. I'm going to say that your added benefit will be a clue, but also I'll just say that like you will be able, you're going to know your location and you're going to be able to like orient yourself in terms of like, okay, where am I in relation to like where I was. Go ahead and just kind of like narrate the scene of Mike trudging through the forest and like where in relation he has been sent to from the rest of the group.
I think as like he is trudging, like it's very, very cold. He's taking one step at a time, like trudging into like multiple feet of snow at this point. And I think like after a while, like he just suddenly just stands very still and starts to listen to hear what's all around him. And I think he just hears like some noise echoing off of the mountain, and I think that's where he's going to start heading, because like it's like sort of technology sort of noise, sort of like the sort of chatter of people, clanking of pots, pans, so just non-nature sounds.
There is another sound that is separate from those that you're hearing elsewhere. This is your clue. There's an advantage I want to give you. It sounds like someone is it's far away and it's very muffled against the wind and the heavy blankets of snow, but it sounds like someone is crying out for help, perhaps shouts coming from somewhere else in the dark forest. What's your clue? Hank's complication, I have decided, is going to be that one of the geocachers who's kind of like sitting there, their name, where did it go? Sven Graves, kind of lanky, kind of like is like sitting, and he looks up and says, can I, am I, are we be expected like to stay put in here, or can I go grab like a pot of coffee from the fire outside? It's fucking cold. He's saying that to you, Hank, asking for your permission to leave your questioning and go get some coffee.
No, let's all go. Das Bartmouse, is a volunteer, and he's a very, appreciated benefactor for the Forest Service, and he's set up a base camp. He's very industrious. I think we should all go and enjoy
They shrug and nod, and you guys trudge out into the snow. And nearby, I mean, like the fires where Roderick and Dallas are getting like people warming their hands by the fire. The generators at Fort Kick-Ass kind of crapped out for a little bit, so this is definitely a good source of warmth right now. Riley McBee, one of the other geocachers, just like lights up like a cigarette and just kind of like walks the fringes of camp just like to have a smoke, and just seems like pretty stressed out. And from Riley's perspective, we see some movement in the forest. Chanlink squints her eyes, and Chanlink takes a little step forward to see into the darkness, and she goes, "What the hell?" And then when we cut back to the group, you know, 15 feet away from her, she's not in the shot anymore. She's just gone. And none of you notice at the moment of her taking. That is Hank's complication, is Riley McBee is now dead. You just don't know it yet. Unless Hank puts on a crown. But that's, yeah, as I say, that's the terrifying thing that we have dealing with now.
I'll put on a crown of the forest.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Because I'm trying to keep everybody together for something like this not to happen.
This is true, and you, the player, Daniel, are trying to speed run this character so you can retire.
Well, this is, I'm gonna put on a crown of the forest, the crown of the mountain. It gives me another permanent.
Gotcha.
And I don't have any slots. So
gotcha.
I'm gonna go with crown of the forest.
Good. We have currently 8 clues. I will ask if anyone feels like they'd like to take a stab at the threshold question now, or do we still have a few actions on the table that people would like to take, maybe for some clues before we try to determine the nature of what's going on here?
How many questions do we need to?
You need at least 3, but I mean, like, so yeah, it's complexity 6. I mean,
not disadvantaged.
Yeah, to not be at a disadvantage, you need to use 6.
Okay.
The problem with this question is that if we fail it, it's the opposite.
It is the yeah, because it's a threshold question. So if you get it wrong, if you say one thing, it will be the other. But the benefit to losing, this is one of my favorite things about CFB questions. The benefit to actually rolling a miss on threshold questions is it answers it, and you don't lose any of the clues because none of them are considered spent. So therefore, it's like, that way you can like go and swing. Yeah, that is the rule.
I know, but however, you're not mentioning the cost, because the keeper gets to take very strong reaction.
A very strong reaction. But I mean, think of all the clues you keep, Chaotic. Think of all the clues.
Think of all the clues. It's a good trade-off.
Hey, man, you still have skin. What are you complaining about?
It's almost Christmas, Chaotic. Think of the clues.
Are you going to ruin Christmas, Chaotic?
Don't ruin the Christmas, Chaotic.
I am going to ruin the Christmas.
So how are we feeling? Do you want to take a stab at this, or do other
folks? I've got a theory. Yeah, absolutely.
Do we now? Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Do we want to take a little break to mm-hmm. formulate ideas first, or does you want to jump right into it?
Up to y'all. I can take a break.
Let's take a solid 5. During mm-hmm. so, feel free to
I can get some coffee for everybody going.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll take 5, and when we come back, I want to hear this theory. All right, I want to hear this theory. As a reminder, the question we're trying to answer right now is Frankie simply orchestrating a hoax, or has he inadvertently attracted fatal attention from some unworldly entity? We have 8 clues. So what's your theory, gang?
Well, Alex, we personally believe.
Did you just Jeopardy answer this?
I did.
Wait, okay.
The geocacher is simply orchestrating a hoax. So Frankie Stiles, in an effort to drum up numbers and interest in geocaching and like boost like its subscriber numbers and everything for his own like online ventures, has created this elaborate winter wonderland geocaching extravaganza over the several past months, starting with the fact that Frankie Stiles was staying on the mountain for months beforehand and deleted all of his social media of that time, was up here preparing for things. by taking boxes of recording equipment under the canvas tarp, was setting up cameras, was setting up audio recording equipment, was setting up all of these, like, essentially doing a Big Brother style, like, essentially, or punked version of geocaching. The strange howls from the forest, coyote maybe, those are coyote howls. They're just on a timer. They are on a like an audio just like speaker system that goes off every 3 hours or 4 hours. The forest path carved through by something large. That something large was a snowplow that Frankie Stiles rented to bring all this fucking gear up here beforehand. And then it is just it like that is the one path that he took, and it's carved a path so far by pushing stuff. Guy doesn't know how to operate a snowplow. Guy doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. He's an influencer. The Yeti animatronic is one of many animatronics that are set up on the mountain to elicit reactions from the people participating in the geocaching event. And then someone is crying out for help somewhere in the forest. That is Frankie Stiles because he has gotten caught in his own elaborate hoax, and is lost in the middle of the mountain. And unfortunately, the mangled corpse of Steve Mackey is just an unwitting casualty in Frankie Stiles' pursuit of being viral for his 15 seconds of fame.
We also noted that he may have deleted some of his social media because he was live streaming when his audio guy died horribly and was live streaming the event and then just deleted everything.
Oh, fuck. Okay. That's terrifying. I love that. Okay, any other additions to that, or that's pretty straightforward, actually. I like that.
And I think we did the foot for the footprints. I think it was just more sort of like how people fake Bigfoot footprints and stuff. Like it was fake ones for environmental storytelling reasons that
Yeah.
he'd try to make. That's why they're kind of
I didn't know if we wanted to
unrecognizable.
use that one so we could have a
Ooh.
leg up, like a bonus,
Oh, yeah. I like that.
because that kind of ties into the if we are correct, where is he
Where is
hiding?
he?
And
Yeah, that
so the
works.
strange footprints. Yeah.
We're not. We're, okay.
Okay. He could be
It warm
wearing
me.
Bigfoot. He could be wearing like
The
Bigfoot
kind.
gear.
Yeah, the
Yeah.
kind with the. Ooh, yeah. Okay,
Out
ignore
the
me
woods.
then.
Okay, so let's see.
Hulk hands for your feet.
Frankie's crying out because he's trapped somewhere. That makes sense. I mean, there's a blizzard going on. Yep, he was doing all this drama numbers. Fucking Steve Mackey, death on live stream. Incredible. Okay, that's brutal. How did he die again? Sorry, because he was mangled.
I believe
Oh,
he
well.
like go ahead.
We did note that that Fort Kickass is like on top of like a cliff and whatnot, and Steve Mackey could just have fallen off the cliff and then got taken away by wild animals, because like they
Yeah.
do that. It's winter. Some creatures will take any food at this point. So
He's a
a
free man.
family of snow hares
We
or
also said that the weirdness that we've been experiencing is just coming from Dallas and Mike. They're like
Sorry
a
about that,
natural
guys.
guy. Yeah, all of the weird stuff that has been happening is because we are on this mountain. Yeah.
Makes sense. Okay, go ahead and roll
Okay.
plus one.
Should I roll my cool blues or my bone die, gang? Cool
That's a tough
blues.
choice.
Cool blues?
I think
Yeah.
blues, yeah, for the weather.
Got it. There's a plus one. Shimona. All right, that is a 9. 6 and 2 plus 1, 9.
Nine. So your theory is correct. I will add an unwelcome complication. I honestly am going to say that it would make sense is that I mean the snow is it's we're in full on blizzard territory now. It's like the snow is coming down. Correction, I did say it was September. It is November because I did see that the threat mentioned it is Snowvember. So we are in November. It is I just want to correct the timeline a little bit though, which is awesome for what we're going to do next. So I'm very excited. Very good. So that is correct. And he is orchestrating a hoax. So the next question is, where is he located in the Rob Brook Valley? If you answer that, you can then find him and escort him to safety where he'll be charged for unlawful trespassing on federal property.
Also murder, potential.
And also potential, like, manslaughter. Yeah, it makes sense. Very good. Mike Hesters. Or Mike Whateley, I should say.
Whately Hester.
Whately Hester's. Yeah, it's hyphenated. It's really up to you, whatever you want to fill out on your forms. You are trudging your way back towards your fellows. You have kind of like found the way. You're very good at navigating. Yeah, you are a fucking professional, after all. Kind of just, I feel like this is a really good segue if you feel like we're doing it to do your crown prompt now.
Yeah, hold on. That's my crown prompt. For as small of a town that we come in, like, I could have had other jobs than this. I could have, right now, I could be back in town, possibly working at like the local Starbucks, like, because it reminds me, like, and think about back to my youth, like my first job was in this like little co like mom and pop coffee shop. Just like that, they had like this weird gimmick. I think it was just like it was like birds for some reason. Like it, like there was just birds on the walls, bird related decor, bird related furniture. It was just ridiculous. However, it that would have been better, been than being stuck out in the dark in the snow and potentially being lost. Could may die. I hope not, but we'll see what will happen, I guess.
For the others, Hank, Roderick, and Dallas, Mike is nowhere to be seen. He just seems to have disappeared without a trace.
Do we all have walkie-talkies still?
Presumably, I think there's some interference coming from the increased, like the heavy snow, snowfall.
Yeah, I check it anyway. I click.
Mike, coffee.
I don't think he's Mike, come in. Shit. Okay. I don't.
Yeah, Hank Jr., me too.
Yeah, buddy, I know. I know. By the way, Hank kisses Hank Jr. We named him. More importantly, I don't. Have you seen Mike?
No, I was talking to these kids, and Mike went out to just look around, right?
Oh shit. I knew he's outside.
Well,
Mike!
he's in his
Looking
element.
go outside to look around in a blizzard? Okay,
Yeah,
Ranger.
he's in his
God
element.
damn it.
Yeah, this is what he does. He's good at this. I don't think that, I mean, it's not smart. He shouldn't be alone. Mike!
Look,
Jesus.
we've got another. We've got an idiot out here filming things for some kind of prank show or something, or for
Yeah.
views, and everything like that to sell fucking STEM bubble pads or whatever the fuck people, the influencers sell now.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. You lost
Can
me.
we get a map? Didn't one of the kids say they helped pick out some
Yeah,
locations?
they can easily bring you a map that they had like marked out like the
So
spots for.
let's put a map on the table here. One of these cool tables that that Dallas popped up. That's pretty sturdy for such a lightweight material. Let's put a
Thank you.
map down here, and Jen, if you could go through some of the spots here, maybe we can try to narrow down where Frankie is. And
Yeah, I mean, I'd say
I'm sure
any
there's
of.
reason.
Yeah,
A
I was about to
reason.
say, like, and because there's honestly like three of you huddled up here doing this, like, if you want to make the role, Hank, by all means, I was gonna say anyone could do this plus reason. One of you could pick to be the one who's studying the map, but yeah, this would be the search move plus reason. Just let me know whoever wants to be doing that, like studying the map.
It should not be Hank because he is very cold and kind of tweaked out, and probably should be doing a vulnerable scene with Mike right now, but Mike is out in
Yeah.
the
We can
boonies.
have a, what do you think, Roderick? You want to survey the map?
I could be, or well, I think one of us should have a flashlight out past the camp looking for Mike because he couldn't have gone far, right?
Oh, actually, you know what I'm gonna say? Actually, if Hank, you do want to make the roll, Roderick is here, and Roderick, you because you're the woofer. You could be giving a Hank a thermal blanket as long as you're tending to him. That'll mitigate the chill to the bone condition for the scene. So, I mean, like, and I won't say that impatient would get in the way of that. I think honestly, like, you're on the hunt. So, I mean, like, if we can have Hank make the roll, it's just that Roderick will be kind of like helping him out as a medic.
But then I
Yeah,
stop Roderick with
absolutely.
the flashlight and say, "No, Roderick, put the flashlight on the table. Mike's fine out there.
Okay. All right.
He's wearing thermal underwear. He's fine.
I forget that he's so good at this. I know. He's competent. He's competent. All right. You look cold though. Hold on.
I am freezing, actually.
All right. Dal's got thermal blankets, like some really nice ones. Hold on. He just puts one over your shoulder. You want to hold?
Are these complimentary? Can we take these with us?
Absolutely. Sarge, everything that Bart Moss Data Solutions makes is complimentary to you. You need a new phone, you let me know, okay? You don't go to the fucking Bart Moss store, okay? You come directly to me. I'll hook you up. How's your home security system, by the way?
Go ahead and make the roll, Hank.
I have a plus one reason, I believe. And, did I use that?
Yeah, plus one, I believe.
My stats are going all over the place.
Yeah.
I have a 6 and a 3 and a 10. So smooth sailing in the tent.
What did you mark for advantage?
Nothing.
You said a 6 and... Oh, 6 and 3. Oh, plus 1. Gotcha. Yeah. My bad. Boy.
I'm running out of things to mark. Yeah. Unless I pull the gun out and put it at the map.
Just spin the chamber and shoot a spot in the map, and that's how you...
That's where he is. It's professional stuff.
I'm rolling with sensitivity.
real Dale Cooper moment, honestly. Fantastic. You'll get a clue. Let's see what we got here.
Thank you for the blanket, Roddy. I can think now.
I think Dallas. I just got it out. I'm just glad we have him. Shit. You want to hold Hank Jr.? He's got a lot of body warm, you know? You're muted, Dan.
No, I'm all good. I'm all good.
All right.
They're kind of explaining various different spots they kind of surveyed. And funny enough, this is a regular clue, but it sure does just sound like a bit of a mountain clue, but it's not. It's that they had mentioned Jen's pointing to this one spot, and they mentioned that they had all these spots have names, they self-named them. They took interest in one of them because there was a stack of rocks that were just solid hunks of bronze that they found arranged under the snow that they found were kind of cool. They looked a little creepy. They called it the medicine circle, a very culturally insensitive thing for them to call that. But that's what they named it on the map. So that's one, that's your clue. What is let's actually go back to Hank for a moment. Mike. Mike, so you're trudging back through the woods. Are you doing anything en route, or are you just determinedly making your way to get back with the others?
Determinedly make my way back to get with the others, because presumably Mike assumes that he's being hunted by monsters.
I'm gonna do a weird reaction I've never really done before, and that's kind of a reaction that's gonna force you to make the search move. Which I've never done something like this before, but I kind of want to set the scene of let's paint the scene, everybody, for Mike. What are the whispers in the wind saying to Mike Hester's just out of earshot?
They're right behind you. They're plotting right behind you with a knife in your back.
Who are you? Who are you?
Who are you?
Who are you?
And just to right behind you.
Chicken. And just occasionally, in between all of that, you hear, Waitley. Waitley.
Waitley.
Can you roll?
Who are you?
Who are you?
Who are you?
Can you go ahead and roll the search move plus sensitivity, Mike Hesters?
Okay. I don't think, again, I don't think I'm using a gun on this one.
No, I wouldn't say you are.
Again, my dice are all over the place, but that's a 6.
It's a 6. Okay. Even with the plus 2, goddamn, wow.
Yeah, it's a 3 and a 1.
And a 6. On a 6. I'm going to give you a condition. The whispers. They're kind of overwhelming. But, all that said, you are almost back to the base camp. Mm-hmm. And indeed, as the group is going over the map, speaking with the geocachers, discussing options, Mike, you come stumbling, not stumbling, trudging, because you're a goddamn professional, mm-hmm. through the snow, through the darkness, back into the firelight where everyone sees your return.
There you are. Where the hell did you go?
Elsewhere.
That is so specific.
Elsewhere. Well, not vague at all.
Did you find anything?
No.
All right.
Okay.
Are you okay?
Not really.
Like, come here. Do you want me to look you over? Are you good? Like,
physically, yes.
Well, I can't help otherwise. I'm sorry about that one. I'm not licensed.
He wants to kill you.
I'm gonna pull Mike over and like knock the snow off of him because he seems like me. Mm-hmm. When somebody says, "Are you all right?" the answer is like no. So I'm pulling Mike over to a part of the tent and I'm putting like coffee in his thermos. Mm-hmm. Put some Dallas coffee into your thermos, and I'm like really looking into your eyes and I'm like. Like, we gotta snap out of this.
Oh my God.
Come on, Mike. We gotta snap out of this. Can we have a vulnerable scene?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can do these at base camp. Yeah, you're allowed to do vulnerable scenes at base camp. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This mountain is out to get me.
Maybe, but it's not out to get Frankie Stiles. We have to find Frankie Stiles. I'm starting to think. The weird shit out here is—it's following us, not Frankie. We got to get these kids out of here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's not them; it's us. We got to get them out of here.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get this kid out. We got to get Frankie out so we can hold him accountable for the wrongful death of Stephen H. Mackey. But then we got to get these other kids out of here.
Yeah, but we can't really do anything right now. Like, it's in the middle of the night. It's dark. It's snowing.
We just gotta get out of the woods, and then we can get back up to the ridge where the vehicles are. We're not that. Mm-hmm. We're probably half a mile away. We're not that far away. We gotta get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna get these people killed.
It's mostly just after me, really. I'm convinced of that.
Well, I'm freezing my ass off. If it wasn't for that Dallas Bart Moss and this these freaking warm-ass blankets, I'd probably be in hypothermia by now. Whatever's following you, I'm just too cold, and I'm just freaked out. We got to get out of here. But we got to be cool, Mike!
Maybe. I just...
You look like you saw a ghost. Snap out of it, man.
I don't trust Dallas.
Dallas just saved my life. But come on. Drink your coffee and put on a heat blanket.
Mm-hmm. All right. And like, I think like I'm like, there is like some little chair that like I get effectively put into timeout effectively. So I'm just sipping my coffee in the corner.
I think Hank turns around kind of like squinty-eyed and like points at one of the kids and is like, you know, and come with me. And we're going out into the snow. I think we were doing Mike's Vice. Sorry, stress reliever.
Yeah, go ahead. So, first of all, both of you can clear conditions, mm-hmm. which means, hey, nice. The whispers fade away. Mm-hmm. Same with Hank. And yeah, do you want to find a clue or talk about the past?
Talk about the past, please.
I believe that Hank is allowed to ask you. Is that the all right?
Yep. So yeah. My question, I'm telling one of the kids to get like suited up. Mm. Probably Flynn. I'm telling Flynn to get suited up back in his snow gear. And so then I remember something that Mike said while he's drinking his coffee. I walk over and I said, "What do you mean? Wait a minute. What's following you?"
I don't I don't know.
Now what? What is it? You're not talking about the weather. What is following you out here in these woods? Did you see him?
It was, again, you know about the stairs.
No, the stairs are just some art project.
Hmm.
Some art installation. It's not, I mean, there's, we're just.
The mountain is haunted.
I don't know about all that, Mike.
A couple of weeks ago, I received a package. Sort of like, it's sort of like some files. And apparently, I'm adopted. I don't know. And it baffled me why people would send that, because like that really doesn't make a huge difference in my life. But however, the monsters on this mountain know I'm adopted, and I don't know why that's important. And it's so, so confusing, and I'm very, very stressed.
If it was folders, right? You said somebody sent you a packet of folders? That means it's got David Embargo all over it.
No.
Was it in triplicate?
I said folders, but like it was digital files.
I don't know what those are.
Yes, I know you don't know what those are. That's why I use folders. But however, I think Dallas sent them. Because like, who else has the technology?
I just think you're barking up the wrong tree, Mike. You just got to pull it together, man.
But
Dallas is here for us.
Okay. But have you ever heard of the last name Whately before?
No. I mean, wait a minute. No.
Okay. Well, it's apparently important to this mountain, and I don't know why.
Let's just here, if this makes you feel better, when we get out of here, if we get out of here and we don't lose any of these people, let's just go to the library in town and look it up in the you know, genealogy records, and that'll settle you down. Okay?
All right. Okay.
What is going on with Roderick Lopps? What are you planning to do? Or what are you doing right now? Yeah.
Well, if I see Hank wanting to take one of these kids out there, mm-hmm. I am absolutely not going to let him do that by himself. Not right now. Holy shit. I am going with you. I might tell one of the kids, I might actually hand off the chicken to one of the other kids who are staying here mm-hmm. instead of taking it out into the blizzard. Or Dallas, if you're staying here, or Mike, if you're staying here, someone should stay with these fucking kids so they don't get murdered or whatever, or God forbid, go freeze to death trying to find us. But, obviously I'm not going to go bother Hank and Mike, but, yeah, exactly. I think, I'm not going to go bother them right now, but I might pass this chicken off to whoever's staying at the camp. But I do go and check with, who was it, that Hank was going to go, Hank told to get dressed.
Man, I'm going to see if he can take me to this, that circle, that medicine circle.
Mm. All right. And I'm like,
stones.
Yeah. Flynn, don't go with just Hank. All right. You wait for me. I'm going to come with you. I don't care what he says.
Yeah, I'll stay around here. I'll make sure everybody stays in the area. No wandering off unless you work for U.S. Forest Services, okay? If I see any green and yellow patches on you fuckers, I mean, people.
No, you can call them fuckers right now. It's all right, Dallas.
Mike, do you need soup or anything? I've got a very nice wild cremini mushroom soup in there that is just to die for. We have some truffle salt in there.
When did you have the time to do all this? How
what do you think I do at home?
Make soup?
Yes, I prepare fine soups. I am. It's not important right now. Finding that Mr. Styles is more important than this.
We just learned a new hobby that does is just makes artisanal soups in his in their free time. I love this.
Oh my god! Soups? Yeah. If both of you are staying here, one of you take Hank Jr. Whoever wants to hold the chicken.
Mike needs Hank Jr. Okay, all I've right. got to do things. Mike needs to calm down a little bit. You've been wandering out in the snow.
Mike, just put them under your jacket like this. Like they're very warm, chickens are. They got a lot of body heat.
I'm going to say that Mike, no, sorry, Roderick and Hank, you two are going off with Flynn. I'll actually ask the both of you to make the risky move plus vitality, just for the
Ooh.
sake of moving through a blizzard.
Yes.
What are each of you afraid of?
I'm afraid of like us getting split up completely and losing both Hank and this new person and
Makes
all of us
sense.
just scattering to the blizzardy winds.
And Hank?
That's pretty much my fear,
Gotcha.
losing Flynn after,
Yeah.
after telling Mike we got to get these people out of here.
Hank, you have
Hank.
disadvantage from I will die on this mountain.
Oh do I have anything
You flat roll
going
through.
on?
It is flat.
Fabulous. Because I got to me an 11.
Nice.
I am going to use Dave Umbargo's personal
Cell
cell
phone
phone
number? Yeah. How so?
to text him a message. And I had this prepped up as I'm getting ready to walk out. Because I'm going to send it. But telling him where our location are, and more importantly, that we have at least three civilians, and if they die, if they die, it's going to look really bad for the White Mountain National Forest.
Ooh.
So
Okay.
send the sheriff department, the other search team, send them here now.
Ah, gotcha,
That's what the
gotcha.
text
That's
message was.
yeah, I like that. Go ahead.
Oh, wait a minute. I don't get to roll three. I get to roll two.
Two.
And it's what is it? What is it?
Vitality.
Vitality. I think I have one, and that just gets me seven. Just barely made it.
Okay.
A two and a four, six and a seven. Yep.
And we got an 11 from Roderick. Yeah, for Hank, I'm just gonna say that I'll come back to that for a complication. But I will tell you, Roderick, if you did mark a crown, which we do have the rescue crown still active, the crown of frost is a freebie out there. That will bring you to a 12, and you'll get a bonus clue as your advantage for that if you want to do that.
Absolutely. As long as
Cool.
everyone's cool with me marking the crown for the mystery or the
Yeah.
rescue, fabulous, because I want to hear everyone's
Crown
answer.
of frost. Each first responder narrates a flashback to a moment they were extremely cold. This is fantastic. Well, in that case,
Hilarious.
B, go ahead and just like narrate this scene cinematically of the three of you trudging through the blizzard to go out to this site. I will narrate a clue you find at some point as
Fabulous.
well.
I think as Hank, Roderick, and Flynn leave the camp, we pan out to see just the extent of this blizzard. It is blinding. You can barely see 5 feet in front of you. But luckily, Flynn seems to be a pretty good tracker is not the correct word, but they're a good navigator. And they remember this straight line to this. At least to Roderick and probably to Hank, unsettling pile of bronze stones. And Roderick is bringing up the back so he can keep an eye on Hank and Flynn to make sure they're like in his sight line. And it is slow going. We're trudging, but it is very determined. It's very, very methodical.
There's a reflective bit of light that catches your eye, and it's a laminated ski trail map that just kind of like seems to like blown in the wind and is like stuck in just like a bit of snow. That is the clue, is a laminated ski trail map that you find that's been like kind of like left out here. See that gives you a third clue. Very good. Back at base camp. It's just Mike and Dallas and some of the remaining geocachers. What's going on there?
Dallas sits down right in front of Mike with more coffee. drink up. Mm-hmm. You gotta stay warm.
Yes, I know about the cold.
Do you need a little bit of Tutski to help you get through?
What?
Just a little bit of I've got a little bit of whiskey in my pack that I keep with me. Also, if you want, I can take some Adderall. I can break it up and mix it up in your coffee for you, kind of keep you alert and everything. Just a little bit, not enough, not like a full dosage
Dallas.
Of it or anything. Yes.
I'm not going to be drinking on the job. Like that's
I'm not getting you drunk, Mike. If I wanted to get you drunk, then we can get drunk in town. Whiskey is going to help move blood through your system. It thins your blood, yes, but it moves it through your system. It has a nice warm tone. It's going to open up your throat a little more. It helps, okay? It worked with my dad.
No, Dallas, that's terrible. Actually, it's one of the reasons frostbite occurs a lot in the wilderness is that people think that, oh, whiskey will help you warm you up. No, that does the opposite effect. It gives you a sensation of feeling warm.
Have you ever been stuck in a blizzard before?
Yes.
You have?
Yes.
Like a tried and true blizzard where you can't see anything in front of you.
Well, less of a blizzard and more of getting stuck in sort of unfortunate, sort of buried in snow for several hours.
Okay. How familiar are you with Finland?
I know the place, and
okay.
Dallas, I've been working on this mountain for the better part of a decade and a half.
And I saw 8 people die on a mountain called Halti in Finland, okay? It was a cut and dry operation. We were going in, going to take some photography, working with National Geographic. We were going to put some cameras in there just to get, uninvasive. And we got stuck up there. And there was about 12 of us. And by the time we got off of that mountain, there was only 4, including myself. And I was very lucky, and it was very, very thankful to people like you and Roddy and Sarge. Okay? Do you think I joined the U.S. Forest Services just because on a whim or anything, just because a flight of fancy or anything? Because I saw things in Finland. You know that Finland, the Finnish people, their language is not like any other Nordic language?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that the Finnish people invented sauna? What kind of fucked up people do you have to be to invent sauna? All right? I saw things out there, including people that said, "Who are you?" But they don't say, "Who are you?" in a nice little English language that you're comfortable with. They say things in Finnish. Go down on your phone if you can and look up how the Finnish language sounds. And you hear that when you're stuck on a mountain and you're surrounded by snowy rocks and you can't see anything in front of your face and you're huddled up against people and some guy by the name of Stan who's never, ever touched deodorant in his life. And then all these things. People with deer antlers, children going missing with little scarecrow, cadaver things or whatever. It makes sense.
Yes. I don't
understand. I'm using the flashback move that I have been attributed to from.
I can feel it coming. I can feel it.
Can you please say that move again?
Yes, flashbacks. A few years ago, a search and rescue operation you led went horribly wrong. This is it. I'm reflavoring it for Dallas. People were lost and you barely survived yourself. You never talk about this event, but it still haunts you. In recent days, strange things from the present are causing you to have brief flashbacks about details from that event you tried to forget. 3 times you may describe how something eerie from a current rescue was also present in the past. You may expand the details and describe a mountain clue that the keeper will add to the total mountain clues.
By all means, do so. Oh, you already did. That's right. You already did.
Is that I heard I heard people in Finland doing
gotcha.
The whole mimicking sounds, but it was in Finnish and everything.
Love that. Okay, add that to the list. That's very good.
So, Mike, I get it. You're big, you're bad, you're tough, you're going through a lot of shit. But you're not alone, and you got the rest of us on here. So if there's some beef, we should make it like Wendy's and squash it, okay?
I'll say, cutting back to Hank for a moment, I'm just going to give you a condition again, I think, as your reaction, unfortunately. But how are you feeling, Hank?
I think he's struggling. I think he's like determined, but struggling as the snow's picked up, as B described it. He's just like struggling to get through the snow. It's just getting deeper.
Yeah. Just say, give you the condition, buried alive. But sure enough, Flynn leads you guys out to this spot on the map, or at least what he approximates in these weather conditions. Kind of bundled up, and he says, "I mean, it's hard to tell, but this is the spot. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. It's the tree line. That looks familiar. You can't see the rocks. I mean, they're probably buried under all the snow. But
yeah,
oh, it gets cold out here."
Yeah, it was your friend bundled up when he went out? Do you think he would have been? Do you think he would have been prepared?
Frankie would have been prepared. Yeah.
Okay, well, at least that, it might give us some more time.
I'm yelling over at Roddy. Did Dallas give you any of these thermal goggles?
Did they?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, actually, they're kind of wild.
Turn them on. All right. You can see a little bit better.
Hell yeah. All right. You stay close, Flynn. Sorry, I don't have any extra.
Roddy, if you're using these goggles, feel free to do a search move plus your reason.
Oh, yeah.
Using the thermal goggles that you can see through the heat and all that. That's sick.
That's sick. Thank you for the reminder. I have zero reason, so it's just a flat. But
no disadvantage, yeah.
Oh, my God, an 11.
Hell,
oh,
yeah.
These dice love me today.
Yeah.
I'm going to roll really bad next.
Yes. Let's see what you spot with the thermal goggles, though. Yeah. Kind of like scanning the heavy, heavily obscured part of the forest here. Let's see. There's a good few number of these. It's like, what would you spot through a thermal thing? This is a good question. There's a splotch of something like that is just a couple of shades warmer than the surrounding, you know, frigid wasteland, essentially. You almost would have missed it, but it's just slightly warmer, but very quickly, like, chilling to the point where it's like, when you look at it, it's like almost completely like cooled to the temperature of the area. And when you kind of like look over to go see what that is, there is a spatter of some fresh blood that has just finished going from hot to cold. That is on the snow here. Some like splatters of fresh blood. Not a lot, but like some notable blood stains that are like, oh, this someone just like spilled blood here, like within the minute. You know?
It's oh
like,
hell yeah!
Like yeah.
Oh yeah! I instantly call Hank and Flynn over. Fuck it, this person's involved now. Like,
yeah.
Hank, come here.
That gives you guys a fourth clue. Do you want to try and get any more, or do you want to take a stab at answering the final question now?
Oh, God.
We want to do a flat roll?
It'd be a flat roll if we did now, or we can hold off for another clue or two.
I'm not going to make that full call.
Flat roll. Flat roll.
Okay.
Let's do it. Let's say.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's take a look at we got the tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Which Wes banked those for us.
Thank you. A very good idea.
The circle of bronze-like rocks underneath the snow, the laminated map, and now the fresh blood on the snow. Okay. I can do everything but the fresh blood on the snow, I think.
All right.
They're pretty evident that the tracks could be, you know, where he was going.
Mm-hmm.
And the map is perfect because we can see where the bronze-like rock circle is on the map. We can see another place close by that has been marked on the map. And so that's where he is. The blood, I don't know anybody got.
I think just the blood is just more confirmation. Like, I think because like he's been wandering out in the snow for a while. I think he just got himself injured and is like leaving a trail behind.
Yeah, he might have even hurt himself on like the bronze rocks because they're kind of sharp. And he might have tripped, fell, and
Yeah, I like that.
Who wants
Makes
to roll
sense.
flat?
Yeah, someone can make a flat roll, just a even 2d6.
Not whoever rolled that was B. Did you roll the 11? Not B.
Yeah.
Somebody else.
Yeah, I was like, I rolled the 11 last. I rolled two really good rolls. I'm not sure that's safe.
Alex roll. No.
No,
chaos.
I won't actually.
I'll roll. I'll roll.
Do
Hell
it.
yeah. Do it,
This is
hey.
one of the few rolls I won't have a disadvantage on. So. And
Yeah.
Yeah.
it is a 4 and a 3.
Seven. Yeah, I here's your the unwelcome complication. I think you have exactly, because it's you two are here on the scene. You have exactly two moves. Like you have two roles that like once we've like two actions, I should say. And unless those two actions lead to finding Frankie in that time, Frankie dies.
All right.
There's two things that we can do, gang. Everybody can put on a crown and we can bump that up. Or we can just bank on those two rolls being good. And if not, then we can just put a crown for those on. And I leave that up to the group.
Well, I know Daniel's plans for Hank won't mind putting on a crown.
Also, but also, I don't mind if Frankie. It might be better if Frankie does die because
Yeah, he's just gonna
it'll be
go to
more
jail. I
will
point for
say,
me.
just I think what I'm gonna rule is that if Frankie dies in this rescue operation, there is no rationalization move that can be made after this because I mean, there's nothing really to rationalize. It's like it's basically gonna be like he dies, and so no one gets to clear conditions before. Yeah,
All
so that is
right.
yeah, you effectively failed as your job. So yeah,
Ooh. And
which is.
let's use the mask then. So
Up to
yeah,
you.
if you guys are okay with
I'm okay with it.
What about you, Chaotic? Are
I'm
you?
okay with it. I have
I'm okay with it as well. I've got to do
All right,
some
everyone
bank.
burn some masks. Love it.
Burn
Or crowns. Yeah, burn some crowns. In
some
that case,
crowns.
then
We invest the
we
mask.
invest
Yes,
in
we're
yes.
investing.
We're
It's
investing.
we're smart. We're smart.
Fucking, of course, Dallas starts a fucking like cryptocurrency called Janus. And it's just like,
What?
you invoke the Janus mask. It's a between joke.
Oh,
You invest in the Janus mask. Anyway, okay, then in that case you'll bump it up and it is flat. So just honestly, I'd like everyone to just contribute details to how Hank and Roderick find Frankie Styles, and then also kind of just then I'd say then Chaotic and Wes, you can provide details for how this operation comes to a close as he is escorted back and charged for trespassing on federal property and all the other shit and manslaughter essentially and negligence and all that. So go
Yeah.
ahead and just narrate the conclusion to the snowbound geocacher.
Daniel, you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll take us out there. I'll get us through the snow. But every once in a while, Hank will like go to a knee or even like slip, roll over to his side. Flynn helps him back up, and Roddy's got the flashlight, and we keep following these trails of blood, and we see we finally when we find him, he's like in the fetal position, and he's like adding direct pressure where he was like impaled by a tree branch or something, and the light's shining in his eyes, and he looks kind of relieved and scared at the same time. I think Flynn probably rushes to him because he's a fanboy of Frankie's, and Hank just leans against a tree trying to catch his breath.
I think Roderick actually makes sure Hank is okay before he goes to this other guy because frankly, as soon as he sees the other guy's alive and not like and aware, but just to make sure we don't lose an actual Forest Service member that Roderick cares about, he rushes over to Frankie and gets him up and you know, gets one of those fun little thermal blankets Dallas got us, like a little pack, you know, like a pack, puts it around him. Make sure the bleeding isn't somewhere that's like actually arterial or anything, something that isn't bleeding a lot. Clearly it's bleeding quite a bit, but not enough to kill you when we go back to camp. If so, obviously he will take care of that. But a lot of it is very calm, comforting in the way that a professional who knows how to handle a bad situation is comforting. And assures Frankie, like, we're going to get you back to camp. We're going to get you warm. We're going to make sure you're okay. Just come on, can you walk? You know, the basics, making sure he's aware, he can walk, he's not that injured, and then starts herding like a husky dog, Hank and Frankie and Flynn back to the warmth of camp.
I think back at camp, those other rescue teams get there. I think right when, and Chaotic, feel free to change as a hop this in, but I think like after the squash beef, is there tension between Mike and Dallas? Because we just found out that Mike thinks that Dallas, who correctly sent that information and everything, and Dallas, I think, is like being very intense. Mm-hmm. I think we see the rest of the people in this camp being like, should we?
Yeah, like I imagine, like, as like, I think the tension breaks like when other like rescuers and whatnot start to arrive on scene.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it's still dark outside, like, but it's still like, I think it's past midnight at this point. Like, it's cold.
See the red and blues, yeah. just reflecting off the snow and everything, mm-hmm. off the mountainside. Yeah. I think cut glances of like Dallas, like helping out with like moving, like breaking down camp, moving mm-hmm. people to other authorities and everything, and just like sharp cutting glances like across the way over at Mike. And just being like, it's going to happen sometime, sooner or later. But Dallas then also being like, oh, there's a police officer right here. Let me go talk to them and make sure that this person is taken care of and everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good. Any last wrap up to throw in there? Or is that the snowbound geocacher?
I think that's it.
All right. Very good. Let's go to the rationalization move. There's less to rationalize on this case, mostly just because the case wasn't inherently supernatural, but there were glimpses of weird things going on. And I'm going to say that I'm going to impose not like a special rule, just like a special kind of like framing bit of narrative here. Because you all experience weird things, and you all acknowledge those weird things are happening. Like, we are past, especially Frank, we are past the point of just being like, something ain't real. But some people are like, no, clearly bad things are happening to this group. This is more so, I don't know, like, I want you guys to kind of explain to me how you're mollifying those inner, you know, kind of like senses of alarm. And, you know, what are you, less so like rationalizing and more of just kind of like, I guess, suppressing at this point, like, or just using to keep steady. And, I don't know. I kind of want to hear how you guys think this rationalization move works, because you guys aren't really rationalizing anything, because you're just, this is coming to a head.
I think we've got several of us feeling like there's something like Mike's word was haunting. Like there's something going on, and even something supernatural is going on. And even Hank thought that we brought the weirdness, not Frankie. So if I was trying to explain that to Dave Embargo, right? Like, I think we're like the lightning rod, David. I think it's, I don't know if we should be sent out into the woods anymore, because it's, I think this weird stuff is like responding to us. That's one way we could frame it.
Yeah. Also, like a majority of like the weirdness, like explicitly weirdness, has been experienced by Mike. And as stated earlier, Mike has a little bit of I issues with the snow because like he did get trapped underneath the snow for like a long while before getting rescued. So like
Yeah.
this could just be like a trauma response. It's just like, as well as just like generally like having like issues like, oh, I'm receiving this really like impactful information, and I'm just generally stressed. So like I think that's how David Embargo isn't explaining this to Mike. Like Mike, you probably should go on
Take
a
vacation.
man vacation a little bit.
Yeah. I think, because I mean, the shit Roderick and Hank saw together with that bronze spire, I think Roderick is just going to try to, this is a bad way to handle this, but he's going to try to not think about it. It's not a part of the report. It wasn't relevant. And only one person died and they weren't there. Nobody was there when that happened. So you know, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Don't think about it. We will put this in a fun little box. And you just kind of keep it in there and you don't think about it. And we won't tell David Embargo about the big scary spire because we're afraid we'll get fired if we say some crazy shit like that. At least that's where Roderick's at.
David, there's some weird stuff out there. Okay, my man, let me level with you. It's the woods. It happens, especially in the middle of winter. Do you want to deal with that? I mean, right now, Bart Moss Data Solutions has a team on hand ready to go to investigate these anomalies. U.S. Forest Services, it's search and rescue, baby. All right? That's what we need to work on, searching and rescuing. But Bart Moss Data Solutions, we've got plenty of free time that we can just go ahead. Look into these little trivial matters that you're bored with. You got Deal or No Deal to watch, am I right? Game Show Network? You seem like a big GSN guy.
I dabble in it every so often, you know, but let me ask you this, Dallas. You like eggnog?
David, I love eggnog.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, Dallas. By the way, a shame, Hank, that you're retiring because feels like you're really coming into your own with this whole operational business. And I don't know. If you weren't retiring to Orlando soon, I'd think that you were coming for my job. Oh
Pensacola.
yeah, thank you, thank you. Yeah, sure. Great. Hank, you can roll. Plus reason for the rationalization move since you have the highest reason.
Do I dropped my reasons.
Your reason should be a one.
And that's the highest?
It's the highest.
At a negative one reason,
Okay.
yes. Yeah. Which is the
A
highest.
four and a six. Plus one is 11.
Hey, the fabric of reality strengthens. Very good.
Look at
Everyone may
us.
clear a condition.
I'm no longer marked by the mist.
Yeah.
Yay! I'm getting rid of the
And
hum.
we are gonna go into a 10-minute break. And when we come back, we'll get to go to the out of the woods phase.
Yay!
But you won't get any scenes to the
Yay!
benefit from. So don't,
Oh.
because we're starting the Night of Vertigo
Oh.
immediately. So get ready for Stephen King's The Mist when we come back from break. It is Christmas in Plymouth, New Hampshire. Some time has passed, a couple weeks. Everyone is getting to enjoy the holiday season. The small town and the surrounding environs are blanketed with snow. Main Street is bedecked with lights and trees and Christmas decorations all abound. And I'd like everybody to go around here and just paint the scene for your character. Give us a little narrative of holly jolly goodness of just narrate a It is Christmas Eve. It is the night before Christmas, and all through the town. I can't think of a rhyme on time, so we're just going to jump right into it. I'd like everyone to kind of like narrate a little scene of what your first responder is doing on this Christmas Eve.
I know what Hank's doing. So Hank is at his ex-wife's house, Wendy, and their kids have all come in. And they brought their kids. I'm putting everybody in danger here. So Hank's grandkids are there. Hank's adult children are there, and their spouses. And so it's a whole bunch of people, and they're watching like some Christmas special on a big screen, while Hank and Wendy are in the kitchen, you know, getting snacks for the kids, and their adult children are like wrangling the smaller kids because they're all excited about Christmas, and Wendy is trying to get Hank to dress up like Santa, and Hank's like, I don't think it fits anymore, Wendy. And so that's what we see from Hank's perspective.
I can kind of cut into my one of my Crowns of the Forest here.
Oh, yes. I was going to say that if you guys have any crowns, feel free to throw them in there in the mix as well.
I think we see Dallas. This entire time, we've seen Dallas by themselves. They've either been at work or they've been like interacting with the Wilderness Boys or something like that. And we see Dallas driving this like four-wheel, you know, like a Subaru, like Crosstrek, but a little bit more fancy. Think if like maybe Aston Martin made a Subaru Crosstrek. Through the snow, and we get to this like modern, very like Swedish style designed house, all glass windows and everything like that, glass walls, walking in with Christmas presents, and just says, lights on, fireplace on, and just drops the presents off underneath the tree. And you can see two Dallas, but you don't see from who underneath them and everything like that. And grabs some dinner, sets it out on a table, has like just a chair and is this full spread and is sitting at a dinner table and just like sits and looks around and goes, okay. And you see this little animatronic, like those waiter robots wheel in, and it has a TV screen, and the TV screen turns on, and you see a gentleman, tan disposition, complexion, mustache, black hair, and just goes, sweetie, is that you? And it's like, hi there, yeah, it's me. Sorry it took me so long. I've got dinner. Did you get your dinner, by the way, and everything? And he goes, yes, yeah, I got my dinner. Did you get your presents? It's like, just picked them up. Had to go all the way to the post office. They weren't going to make it, but I went in. I slipped them a couple of... And it's like, I don't want to hear about that, Dallas. Let's just have a normal Christmas. And Dallas goes, normal Christmas. And that is my narrate a scene showing the status of my current romantic life.
I think Mike Hester's, well, Mike Whately Hester's, is spending his Christmas, unfortunately, kind of by himself. Like, he's never been, like, the type to make, like, a ton of friends or, like, go out or anything of that nature. But this particular Christmas is a little bit different. He did take up on sort of Hank's idea about going to the library to look up his genealogy reports because, like, despite everything going on and, like, just, like, it's being Christmas time, like, the public service offices are still, like, open on Christmas because, like, they're a public service. Like, people need a place to like just stay warm during the holidays, just in case, because like they offer more services than just books and internet resources. They are sort of a community center. It's particularly, I think, late at night at this point, and like he's actually gone and just is helping out the librarians with returning books to their places, just because like he really doesn't have anything better to do. He tried looking up Whately, and really it just led to dead ends. Like he think he found like a cousin out in Brindlewood Bay, but like they never answered their phone. It's rather unfortunate. It's like he's the last Whately, just like he's the last Hester alone.
I think we, from Mike, we pan from the library to a small apartment where Roderick Lopps and an older woman who looks very much like him are out on a little balcony smoking cigarettes together. Roderick would never admit to anyone ever that he occasionally smokes cigarettes. Just maybe it's social. He used to a lot. And it's the wind is biting, and it reminds him of being back in boot camp up by the Great Lakes, where the wind would blow off the frozen lakes and it would be so cold you would instinctively just sprint back into the nearest building. But right now he's not going in because he's having a nice conversation with his mother, the only person who's there for Christmas. It's a very, very small family now. And she asks him if he plans to stay here. Like, are you sure? Are you sure you wanna just keep being here? Like, it's, I don't know, it's kind of remote, you know? It's there's not a lot of, is there like any upward mobility? I don't know. I think I'm probably gonna try to get out of this after, I don't know, maybe Hank retires. I think there's other places I could go. Things are getting a little weird out here. And she asks him what he means by that, and he says, "Don't worry about it. It's just, just part of the job."
We
I would like
see.
to
Oh, yeah, no, go
yeah,
ahead.
I
Go
would
ahead.
like the Wes, that was awesome working in a crown, and I've got a good one for this in this situation. The crown is the one. Why do you keep doing it despite all this weird stuff? Why do you keep doing it? And so Wendy takes a tray of like snacks, and she turns over and she said, you should do it for the kids. You should put on the suit for the kids. And Hank's like, no, I'm telling you, it won't fit, Wendy. I already checked. But we see his left hand go back and behind his jacket, and he feels like this the pistol to make sure it's there. He knows he can't put on a Santa suit with a firearm. And as she leaves, he looks out the window, and he can't see it because of the darkness, but he knows a White Mountains is out there. And if it was a daylight, you could see some of the mountains from here. And he knows that he has to like try to protect his family, and he can't retire until he knows that they're taken care of.
We see several shots of Plymouth at Christmas time, a light snowfall in the air. And then the mists begin to slowly creep in, not white, but a pallid green, a haze from another world that begins to seep out from the fringes of the surrounding wilderness and blankets Plymouth in this verdigris. At Hank's house, the television signal goes into wild snow as the signal seems to be interrupted by something. Children complain. They give the TV a good thumping, but the signal seems cut off. at Dallas's, their video chat freezes and then disconnects, the internet no longer showing as a connection. And god damn it, you invest very good money in that fiber optics that are now apparently not doing jack shit. Sports bars where lonely patrons drink or have a nice quiet kind of evening with company also meet the same fate. Television broadcasts going out, blinking as the signal, and indeed Plymouth itself, becoming disconnected from the entire outside world as the mists close in denser and thicker. Elsewhere in Plymouth, we see a woman driving down a snowy suburban road, beams on high, and looking out through the green fog, trying in vain to make out the row of houses and squinting against it. And eventually she flicks her hazards on and just kind of like puts on the brake and just kind of like goes to a stop and just kind of like is at a loss and like looks at her GPS on her phone, the address, her destination, just a couple of blocks away, but then it begins to like show that she's disconnected and all the reception disappears. And then a shadow passes over her car and she just kind of like looks up from the, like, you know, kind of like glances the street lights coming through the green haze tinted. She kind of like shrugs off, and then another shape. And this time she like rolls the window down and looks out into the cold air through the haze. And she doesn't see anything again. So she just puts her head back in. And as she rolls the window up, she kind of touches at the screen in vain, trying to get the signal to come back. And then ka-thung, something lands on the roof of her car and she jumps, and something about the size of a turkey or something like that perched on her car just in the shadows. And then a needle-like proboscis stabs down through the roof as she screams and tries to escape. As she comes tumbling out of her vehicle into the snow, as more of these turkey vulture-sized birds with long proboscises and the hazy shadow begin to swarm and flock nearby. Elsewhere in Plymouth, we see a young man walking back from a gas station at the edge of town. It is hazy, thick with this green fog, this mist, and as he's In his arm, he's got chips and beer and just assortment of snacks and beverages. He's walking back to his car and unlocks it, meant to load it into the trunk. And when he closes it, kind of like looks through the mist at the tree line and goes to his car and turns his headlights on. And as the beams cut through the mist and illuminate the tree line, we see dozens of tall shadows in the tree line, and a cacophonous echoing of, "Who are you? Who are you? Who are you?" Elsewhere in Plymouth, we see some high schoolers walking down the football field, which is abandoned, laying blanket in snow, just kind of having a laugh, a couple of teens out on a date, and one of them points and says, "Babe, what's that?" And one of the jocks looks over and he's like, "Who the fuck wheeled out an entire set of bleacher stairs onto the middle of the field?" And there's an entire set of stairs that is now on the field. Elsewhere in town, other staircases seem to have manifested in places where they should not be. Tendrils of mist begin to creep along the ground. Elsewhere, in someone's basement, a worm-like creature writhes and wriggles. Elsewhere in Plymouth, long bony hands reach out from trees to grasp at the people who walk beneath them. Elsewhere in Plymouth, many things are coming from the other world, and the night of verdigris has fallen. And that is the session of White Mountain Rescue Without a Trace. Let's go to end of session. And then we'll do Stars and Wishes. And then, because next time we'll get to experience the holiday special of the Night of Verdigris in full. As I will explain now, this is a special rescue scenario that is triggered in the campaign. It has a question: how do we protect the town from the dangers in the mist? Complexity 8. You will hope you like Stephen King's The Mist, as I've said before. So we're going to be full in force on dealing with that. Yeah, let's go through the line here. I realize I did not remind people to do end of session questions at the very start of the session to mark new ones, but that's okay. Roderick, did you admit your wilderness skills are lacking due to a past mistake? Nope. All right. Did you share a medical horror story? All right. Then you get 1 point of experience from resolving a rescue. So you get an advance. Hey, a very good thing to get an advance right before this. Mike, did you impress the others with your wilderness skills?
I wouldn't say I would impress anyone. I did have impressive wilderness skills, but not impress anyone.
Did you primarily talk in single word phrases?
During for
a good part of the session, yes, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I'll give it to you. So you get 2 points of experience. Hell yeah. Hank, your bar's already filled. Did you already mark the advancements?
Oh no, you must have given me
Oh, that's right. Yes. I meant to tell you. I totally forgot. You advanced last session, by the way. So, because you had gotten a point from a thing. So, yeah, take an advance. But also, did you admit that you are in over your head?
Yeah, to Mike.
Did you show other members, the younger members, that you still got it?
Did I?
Did they? Did he? Younger members? Do we feel like Hank showed that off that he still got it this session?
Even, I think through adversity and, like, clearly showing, like, slowing down, but he still pushed through. And like, did it. I think that's the thing, is like, because more so than like Dallas, because Dallas, you know, was like, I'll go out there. Like, why is Hank going out there? And Hank's like, I'll go. Me and Roddy will go out there and find Frankie. So yeah,
take three.
So.
You get 3 points. There you go.
And I think between now and then I'll come up with a custom move.
Oh, I love that. That's great. And for Dallas, did you flaunt your wealth?
Yes, with the base camp, yes.
And did you impress the others with your wilderness skills?
Did I impress the others with my wilderness skills?
I don't think you had a chance this time.
I mean, were you impressed your soup by skills. All of the, he made good soup, but were you also impressed by, like, all of the, like, survival gear that he had at base camp and all that? Like,
Yeah.
And he knows how to use it, yeah.
Yeah, and I think the fact that the thermal blankets saved, like, 2 people's asses.
True, yeah.
I think that counts.
So you take 3 from, because you also resolved rescue. Nice.
All right, I advanced.
Hell yeah, take those advances.
I thought about doing a custom move, but I think I'm going to up an ability modifier.
Very good.
Instead.
All right. Unless anyone has any other crown prompts that they'd like to do right now? No? All right, then let's go to stars and wishes, everybody.
Stars, immediately chaotic. Mike's journey is awesome. And I think you're playing it really well, of this person coming to terms with what's going on in their life. I think that is it's a hard thing to play. And so I think you're doing a fantastic job with that. And I can't wait to see what more comes of that. Sorry, I was reading them. I have them written down and everything. The prop work and physical props by B, fantastic. It's always great to see a fantastic use of verdant greenery and lighting to show the Mr. Verdigree. I also am a big fan of Roderick, and I think Roderick is a very necessary component to this group of keeping it together. And also excellent use of, like, kind of showing us your home life at that end there with, like, using Christmas, and also having the conversation of being like, I think I'm done. I think once Sarge is gone and everything, I think I'm done with this. And it's like, are you, buddy? And so that kind of moment's like, I want what's best for Roderick, but also, are you done? I don't think you're done. Daniel, you are doing such a great job of showing Hank slowly slow down more and more and more. I also want to continue to say that this whole game is exquisite. It's like a sleeper hit. Honestly, like, underrated sleeper hit, like one of those things that, like, A lot of people, not a lot of people, but I think some people are really going to overlook this. And there's a lot of depth and care and attention put into this game. And I imagine being able to see it on the other side with like what Alex is seeing and running the game. I think once I'm able to see that and kind of have it all collected in my whole hands, I'm going to doubly show. I can see this being on like one of my top 10 releases of the year list of like TTRPGs, even top five once you release it. And that's not just because I'm a simp for CFB. Like it's you are a talented designer. And like yeah, and you have an understanding of what is effective and evocative to get people hooked, and I'm hooked. I can't wait to introduce this to so many friends. I still have people that I'm in touch with that hike the AT. We've already hiked the entirety of the AT, and they still go and hike the AT. And I'm sure that they're like, I could never get into Dungeons and Dragons, but I can show them this and like the One Ring. And I'm like, in both of these games, you experience wilderness wonder and going a travel and everything like that. And you can play one of them. I'm gonna put this in your hands first, though, with White Mountain Rescue. I'm frozen. I don't give a shit. But yeah, and then Alex, exquisite scene setting, also excellent pacing and like and editing and everything. As you see me, Superman flying at the screen. That's me. I'm done. Okay, I'm back. Hi. Yeah. And then my wish, I hope we mostly survive, mostly. Also, another wish, I can't wait to see the Mike Waitley, Hester, Dallas Bart Moss, like confrontation come to a head. Like either they get locked in a in like they get trapped in a canyon together or something happens where they're just forced to exist. And like I can't wait to see that. You're doing a good job of like chaotic of like balancing and not being like I'm not going to engage with Dallas, because I think you're seeing what I'm trying to do, which is I'm trying to poke and prod Mike, and I'm like, do something. Let's get this out of the way and everything. And you're doing such a good job of not falling for it as a player and as a character. But I can't wait for the confrontation to happen. Javert and Jean Valjean, fucking Tybalt and Romeo, Dio Brando and Jotaro, think of all the great rivalries in media. You thought it was.
Oh my God. Absolutely. Were you gonna go chaotic?
Oh, you can go.
Oh, okay. I mean, absolutely stars to you and Wes for having some of the most entertaining player character conflict, not convict. not yet. It's very fun to watch you two balance PvP with actually like doing the rescues and stuff. It's very entertaining and I think it's beautiful. I cannot wait for it to come to a head. I think that I really loved how everyone handled this like beautiful opportunity that Alex handed us on a platter about the Christmas thing to show us to let everyone know about the family lives. Like Hank, oh my God, his wanting like the dressing up as Santa for the grandkids thing, like that's so real and so good. And I'm just like, ugh, I know what's gonna happen, generally speaking, for Hank, and it makes me so sad. And that's exactly why it needs to happen, because he's such a compelling character. And Dallas having a romantic partner was not on my bingo card. Fascinating. A fascinating turn of events. I am their dynamic. What is this? I must know more. Oh my God. Mike, that was the saddest Christmas I've ever heard of. Oh my God. But it's kind of sweet that he's helping at the library. Like, that's like really nice. I don't know. Yeah, stars to everyone for just their characterization, how they're handling incorporating conditions into your like actual role play. Like Daniel, you're doing such a wonderful job with Hank, remembering all of the conditions you have and putting them in the forefront. It's really lovely. Honestly, the same with Chaotic and Wes. You're both doing such a fabulous job of like using mechanics for storytelling. And it's really, really fabulous. You too, Alex. I am enamored with this campaign. I'm enamored with this whole vibe you've got going on. It's amazing. It's delicious. This game, I agree with Wes. This is like a hit. My top five of new games coming out. This is so cool. It's so lovingly crafted. The details are really engaging. And everything's been super different. My wish is that survive is a strong word, but I hope we get to whatever the next layer is in at least a manageable amount of pieces, because I want to see where this story goes. That's the only reason I don't want all of us to die, but I'm really interested to see what the hell these little proboscis birds are. I'm so into that. I'm so into these monsters. Oh my God. Yeah. Stars for everyone. You're all fabulous. And you're just such a joy. Such a joy.
Yeah, I have to echo a lot of the stars so far. Like, I kind of figured that Dallas like had like someone up it, like it, like it, it just struck me like Dallas had someone, but they weren't in town. Like that was always something in my mind that was going on. Roderick, we just love to see. Just love him. Like, he is the most stable person of the group. Sergeant Hank is just spiraling. Dallas is in it for his own schemes and machinations, and Mike is just losing his shit. We're here for it. I'm going to say, like, the Whateley stuff, like, changed my idea of, like, of what Mike's personal life was like. So, like, if you go back to previous sessions, you may know some differences there, but, like, this is a game that is all about play to find out. So, like, things change over the course of the campaign, and I really like this idea. So I'm really leaning into that. So thank you, Alex, for this little treat. Sergeant Hank, I don't think he's gonna survive. I'm sorry. It's just not looking possible, and I'm going to be so sad. I'm going to make sure his family survives if it's the last thing I do, because I would be so sad if they didn't. Oh God. I'm so scared about this because I don't know what this means. Like, what does this night? What is going to happen? I'm scared. There's so many monsters. We're dealing with all the monsters, Alex. Why are there so many? I thought we were going to deal like with less than this, but no, it's everything all at once.
I've got some stars that have not been mentioned. I really liked Alex's paint the scene for the whispers, and I like how everybody just like nobody even thought about it. We just all jumped in. We knew exactly what was whispering in the wind. And so a big star there for that paint the scene. I think the way that B's playing Roddy, like you do a lot of like medical stuff all the time, checking to see if we're warm, checking on Frankie. And I like that Alex keeps bringing in your move that can help us mechanically. But even if you take that away, Roddy is still there on the job as a professional medical working this rescue. A star I don't think Chaotic set it up, but I just had this image of like kind of a wide-eyed Mike sitting there with his coffee zoned out in that tent. And then chastising Dallas for offering him whiskey when it could cause frostbite, and just the Chaotix frostbite warning. For stars for Wes, normal Christmas, which was not normal in any sense of the word, and the soup, truffle salt, I don't know what that is, but I want to taste it. Adderall in the coffee, yes, please. But Mike's like, you know, no. So tons of stars there.
Take some truffle oil, take some salt. You got truffle salt.
sounds good. Do you need soup? So there's just so many things going on in this one. And I'm not gonna lie to you. Hank is in a tight spot because he's got all these conditions that he can't remove, and whenever he rolls, they affect every one of his rolls. And so I've got no equipment to mark. So yeah, Hank's in a tight spot. He's got a few masks left, but it's not looking good.
Yeah, I'll just throw out there that this was a really fun session, getting to conclude with a mundane danger for the Blizzard. I was extremely curious to see which option you guys were going to roll with, and the fact that you guys went with the hoax was very interesting, because it then turned into this whole narrative about we are the ones bringing the weird stuff to the, we are the ones putting these people in danger. So that was very fun. Really enjoyed that. There was a lot of fun role play in general. I really enjoyed the tension between Mike and Dallas, the ongoing tension, but it really coming to a head, especially with Mike confiding in Hank about the fact that he thinks that Dallas has something to do with all of this, or involved with him at least. That was really good. Good idea looking out for the chicken. Don't forget that you can add the chicken, Hank, to your inventory now, because you survived the scenario with it. As promised, as your personal items, your gear. Let's see what other stars. I really enjoyed the paint the scene prompts everyone gave for their Christmas things. I was over the moon when I, because I didn't realize until this session that I was like, because I forgot that we were in November technically. I thought we were like earlier. So when I remembered, oh, we're in November, I then realized, oh, the next thing we're doing is the Night of Verdigris. Oh, I can set the Night of Verdigris during Christmas. That's actually really fun. So this is also a star to Daniel as a designer, because the Night of Verdigris could come up, you know, wherever that fourth layer of the campaign gets unlocked. Ours just so happened to get unlocked during a winter time. So the fact that our night gets to happen is like a Christmas, like Eve horror. That's a lot of fun, because also it's falling around exactly the holiday time for us in real life. So that's very perfect. But in another game entirely, that could be something that happens during the summer. And I don't know. I like the flexibility of the design there, of this coming into play in many different ways. That was very, very fun. Yeah, I loved everyone's narrations, as I already said. Wish-wise, I am looking forward to more vulnerable moves, because even though it's about to be really dangerous, you all can still do vulnerable moves, because it is the out of the woods phase, so you're able to be vulnerable with one another. Maybe we see some reconciliation between Hank and Wendy before Hank is shuffled out the door. Who knows? Let's get real sad about it. A lot of possibility. I'm very excited to see people's stuff in action for the Night of Verdigris, because this is going to be a very different, very, very dangerous, more dangerous than usual, and very action-packed. So I'm excited for that. Are there any stars or any other stars or wishes?
Just a note for audiences at home, Hank is 3 crowns away from the Mountain Crown. Mike and Roderick are not that far behind. We're 4 crowns away. So,
Which I didn't realize until Chaotic pointed it out. Things are about to get spicy.
yeah, so far Dallas is fine. Like Dallas is like at like 6 crowns.
I
So
will
their
laugh.
machinations.
I will laugh my ass off if Dallas is the only survivor of this entire game.
Yeah.
But
We'll get a nice plaque and obelisk up on the mountain for you all.
That's poetic. I'll give you Hank Jr. in my will.
perfect.
I'm excited. And we're 4 mountain clues away from the finale of the game. 4 more mountain clues, and we trigger the mountain rescue for the campaign finale.
Yeah.
Because we're at 11 clues. So once we hit 15, end game. We're speeding towards the conclusion. This is great. So I'm looking forward to that. Awesome. Anything else? Then wave goodbye to the camera.